You're listening to 99.1 WQRT LP Indianapolis, and this is Create Here. Produced by artists and curators from Big Car Collaborative, Create Here is your place to listen to conversations with people making intriguing, innovative, and impactful things happen on the cultural front in Indianapolis, Indiana, and beyond. Find out more and access additional episodes at WQRT.org.
Welcome to another episode of Create Here. We're joined with the Indie Movement Arts Collective today. Lauren Curry.
Hey.
Jenny Del Fuego.
Hi.
And Kelvin Berzon.
That's me.
Tell us a bit about the history of Indie Movement Arts Collective.
Absolutely. So Indie Movement Arts was formerly Modus Dance, which was a performance-focused group. And a few years ago, we changed our model. And now we have three sort of pillars of operation, as we say. We program weekly classes, leaning heavily into like non-Western, non-European things like Tai Chi, Bollywood, belly dance, embody dance, which is a really great somatic practice. We bring artists on a national level to Indianapolis for workshops and performances. Our most recent was actually a beautiful partnership with Big Car, where we brought a Buteau artist, Vangeline, a New York-based Buteau artist, here to Indianapolis for workshops and some performances. And then our third thing is supporting the creation of new work. And so we have a digital residency, and that ties very much into what we're going to talk about today. And we have affordable rehearsal space, and we produce events and performances by local choreographers and dance makers. So that is us in a nutshell.
Tell me a bit more about yourself and how you became involved with the Indie Movement Arts.
Yes. So I grew up here. I moved away to go to college, and then I was living in various places, the latest of which had been West Texas, Midland, Texas, oil country. And I love the desert. It was the most insane place that I've ever lived, but I wanted to be close to my family, who still lives here. So I came back and I wanted to get involved in dance somehow. So I auditioned for, at the time, a Modus show, and then just got more and more deeply involved until now I'm the executive director somehow. And it's been really wonderful, especially because my most fervent passion is to produce work by people who are doing really different and unique things. Indianapolis has a lot of stuff going on. It's growing very fast. And I really want to carve out space for people who are thinking differently, because there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of it is kind of the same. And so I really love to see people who are just like wild and untamed and just bonkers. And so that also ties very much into what we'll be talking about and who we'll be talking to.
The pandemic. So was that the starting point of this residency? And
yes.
And how was that for dancers, you know, and as an organization?
It sucked. And the digital residency, first it was called the Micro Fellowship, and we paid, well, it ended up being 11 artists, but we were going to have one artist per month make, what was it? It was like two videos a week reflecting on their creative process. Indie Movement Arts doesn't have a lot of money, but what we do have, we're really committed to reinvesting into the dance community. So it was like our way of trying to keep the performing arts economy going, or, you know, giving people a reason to keep making stuff. And now it has sort of reimagined itself and transformed itself into the Process Progress Fellowship, which was like a little fancier, a little bit more advanced. And the artists that we were asking, not that the artists necessarily were fancier, but like we were asking more of the artists. We were asking them to dig into what they're doing, what their thought process is, so that people can really see like the value behind art. Some people don't know what goes into the creation of new work, and that is something that we really want to draw the curtain back on.
So that brings us to the two artists joining us today. How did you select Jenny and Kelvin for these residencies?
Well, Jenny has been flitting about at Indie Movement Arts for so long, and she was actually part of, so we have one of the residency programs, one of the in-person residency programs where we bring artists from different places. We brought an artist from Canada, and Jenny was actually in his show, and it was so beautiful. And she is so, she's like, I don't know, she's like a sunflower, she's like an octopus, she's like, she, we have been admiring her from afar for so long, and so I was so thrilled to get to know her in this way. And actually, it's so funny, this I feel like is very Jenny, like I asked her to be a micro fellow, and then somehow I like dropped the ball, and she was like, is that still happening? And I was like, yes, and it's happening, but more so. And now you will step into these big old process progress shoes, and she has like outdone herself. And then Kelvin, gosh, how?
I think I showed up to a fusion class.
That's yeah. Right, oh my gosh. You showed up to, I first met you at an Afrobeats class that you took, and then my co-director, Bethany Bach, and I began stalking you online, and hopefully not threateningly. And we were like, this man is a genius and so unique and so like...
I was calling it Lure series.
That, okay, do yourself, people who are listening, do yourself a favor, look that up. You're welcome in advance. It is the most like... transgressive thing that I have seen someone do in this town. So we were like, this man is now.
Listeners, just so you know, like Lauren is very animated talking about this Grindr piece right now. So let's start with Jenny. How did you come to Indie Movement Arts, and tell us about like your attraction to it, and
okay,
if that's the right word.
Well, in 2016, I was in a wreck. I was in an accident, and I found myself trying to find a new way to move. And I was doing my homework on, okay, my body's completely different than I've known for however many years. And I saw Lonnie's class, which is embodied dance, and which incorporates Eastern and Western and like really helps you tune in with your body awareness. And so I had taken classes with Modus. I went to Paloxing and belly dancing and it was super fun. But I mean, that was before the wreck, and my body, I mean, even to this day is completely different. But all that to say, embodied dance was what I needed to what I needed at that moment and juncture in my life, when physical therapy and working with a trainer wasn't quite doing it. I was like, I found a joyful way to dwell and be in my body and listen to it like I've never had to before. And so that's how I found embodied dance. I was just through the internet and seeing and experimenting, just going out there. I know nothing about Lonnie, but I want to try this class.
So for you, was it a process and part of your healing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's what I've been learning from it is continual, and I just went last week too.
And then how has your experience been during, because this residency started initially separate from each other, so you and Kelvin really didn't work together until this show that we're getting ready to open, right? You were kind of, you know, this was during the pandemic, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
on my own during this residency, honestly, is not too different from my everyday life. Even the pandemic, because I am grateful to have a studio in town. So, and I also work at home. So working on this, I lacked the conversations with community that I've had over the years. But it really helped me to hone in on something that I didn't even know I had in me, that I don't think would have been created if I wasn't invited to do this. And that's super fun and exciting.
Kelvin, how did you become aware of or want, you know, part of Indie Movement Arts Collective?
Well, I think that Afrobeats class was passed on to me by like the community that I built in Bloomington. And like African diasporic dances was kind of a comfort zone because that was my introduction to organized movement with the African American dance company at IU. And so moving into Indianapolis, I was really lacking that movement and dance community that I had left in Bloomington. And so that was kind of my introduction into indie movement arts. So shortly after I attended that class, I think it was on an Instagram message that I was approached to give my contact info in the prospects of being, you know, the first artist to take on this residency. And my span was the final 3 months of 2021. I wasn't really creating work at the time. I had an exhibition that is being installed in Syracuse University while this residency was happening. And so it was a good time for me to not create work, not be actively creating work, but a time to have some reflection about, you know, the things that I have done. But in a new light, thinking about it as a mover, which has been a separate thing for me, you know, like a creator in the art world, and then the dance studio is something completely different. And so looking back on the things that I have created, even when not thinking about movement, movement has always been there. And it seems like I've always been a mover.
Is this the first time that you will publicly integrate your body movement work with your visual artwork?
As far as doing it in front of people, yes. This will be the first time for me.
I have experimented with movement before, all through grad school, and I realized that, you know, what I was actually doing as a photographer is performing in front of the camera. But this is going to be one of the first times that I'm thinking about dance, and not just creating some sort of conceptual performance piece, you know, as something separate from the lens of performance art, you know, that I have been introduced to as an artist.
And then, Lauren, how has it been for you, you know, working with them through the residency and seeing their work progress through it?
The beautiful thing about this residency, and kind of, it's one of those necessity is the mother of invention things, where because Indie Movement Arts is a very small organization with a small annual operating budget, we don't have a lot of capacity to be like guiding and shepherding people. And these two have like taken what for a lot of people, especially in this town, is kind of hard to wrap their minds around, which is these two I sort of was approaching as primarily visual artists, but as Kelvin was saying, asking them to look at their work through the lens of movement. And that's what the residency is. It doesn't really matter. Like, we're thinking of asking a culinary artist, and we're thinking of, you know, like, it doesn't matter what type of art, but how is movement incorporated into that practice? And we want more of art goers and art patrons to break down those divisions in their own minds about, well, I'm going to an art show, I'm going to a dance show, like, and we're asking artists that are making work to break down those divisions in their mind as well, so that we can see things that are more intermedia, interdisciplinary, just more interesting. I think part of the reason people hate going to dance shows sometimes is because they're expected to sit and watch and be quiet. And if they don't like it or they feel like they quote unquote didn't get it, then they're like not satisfied with their experience. And so that's why I'm so excited to talk about this upcoming event, because I really want a lot of walls to be broken down, a lot of expectations to be subverted. And these two have really run with that. And like from the jump, like we're so excited about being part of that.
And what are some of the programs that you have going on right now that you're excited about as well?
I think the next thing on the docket will be a residency with Kamra, who is a transmasculine belly dance artist. That will be happening in May. And he will be coming for, again, workshops and then performance. And we are hoping to have a brief residency with a woman who is based in Traverse City, Michigan, who hopefully will come and teach some counter technique workshops, which will be really interesting for dancers who think there's only one way of dancing. And we're, again, I think indie movement arts is really about breaking down boundaries and breaking down divisions as much as possible. And so, but that's what the bulk of our programming attempts to do, I hope, anyway.
Well, how do you, like, a lot of times people think they're like, well, I'm not a dancer, so I can't take a dance class. How do you feel about that? Like, what do you say to those people?
Bethany always says, if you have a body, you can dance. And actually, I don't know, maybe Lonnie says that. Maybe a lot of people have said it. Maybe Gandhi said it. I don't know. But someone said it, and so it must be true. And that's how we feel. We just firmly believe that once people get over the anxiety, again, the expectation, the division, those people are dancers, but I am not. Well, what you think of as dance actually can totally be blown apart and like expanded almost infinitely. Just the movement of the eyes. I mean, there are so many pieces I can talk about where just subtle gestures, eyebrow movements. I mean, in classical Indian dance, those kind of subtle gestures are dance, are movement. And so if you are interested in movement, basically, congratulations, you're a dancer.
A lot of people are nervous about or just have body issues overall. Have you seen people who come to the classes, you know, be able to make progress and how they feel about themselves and then in relation to their body?
I think so, and I hope so. I see lots of different, not only different body types, but all different ages as well. Of course, people who are past a certain age think they can't dance or shouldn't dance, but that also is not true. It's just, you just have to ask, what kind of dance could I do? Where can I fit in? There is a place for you. It might require a little more research, but you know, we love to talk about dance more than anything. We talk about dance all day long. So if anybody has a question of, well, where would I fit in? You know, just come at us with that. I mean, you know, we're seeking funding from the Arts Commission right now to design a class that's specifically for blind and visually impaired people, like in concert with, like we would hire 10 blind and visually impaired people to co-design a class for blind and visually impaired people so that we really can say like literally anybody can come in here because we believe so much in how good movement can make you feel and how deep you can go within yourself and how much you can discover.
And where are your classes currently? Where's the physical location of your space?
I'm so glad you asked. It's at 40th in Pennsylvania, and we're inside the Bazille Opera Center. And our landlord, wonderful landlord, is the opera. They've actually been very good to us, and it's a beautiful space. It used to be a Greek Orthodox church, so it's high ceilings and like stained glass. We're very lucky.
And Jenny and Kelvin, what do you think this, how has your practice changed as artists due to this residency?
This is a great exercise for me in non-attachment, that, you know, there's very little heads, like lead time. So I didn't make it too precious. And that was really releasing to me. And that's really been affecting my practice. I mean, it's something that I try to do, but it's just even more so. Just lay it on thick for the show.
I think for me is practicing more of looking back and, you know, as being excited about new things or creating something new, or often forgetting or not remembering the things that you have established or have already researched. And I think that is something that I'm going to carry on forward in my studio practice.
Where do we go online to learn more about each of your work, both personally and organizationally?
IndieMovementArts.org is all things Indie Movement Arts. We also have an Instagram, which is also Indie Movement Arts, and you can find out about classes, our residencies. You can see the process progress videos going all the way back, going way back to January, going back to Kelvin and now Jenny's, and you know, and we're just going to continue through the end of 2022.
I have created an Instagram page, at Denny Del Fuego, not Jenny Del Fuego, Denny Del Fuego, which is specifically just for this residency.
So with a D.
Yes.
DennyJelfuego. Perfect.
You can find my work in my website, kelvinburzon.com. That's KelvinBurzon.com. Or on my Instagram, which, you know, got me this gig. That's at kburzon, KBURZON.
And will we find your grinder work there?
I think I have disabled it from my online portfolio, but I can put it back.
Grinder.
This is Shate Marsh, co-founder of Big Car Collective and director of programming and exhibitions at Tube Factory. You can learn more about our programs at www.bigcar.org. And please do visit Indie Movement Arts and learn more about their program and visit us all.